All right, so we are officially begun. Comment-less or not, I appreciate that you guys are on, and we're just going to roll with it, right? So this morning, we are happy to have you back for another installment of Deliverance Temple Ministries Transformation Hour. We are in the middle, right in the middle of a series that we're calling Characters in Crisis. Characters in Crisis. And so, praise God for what we've done already. Okay, praise God. I'm thankful for those of you who are helping me out here. We can see lots of ones in the chat area. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Great. And another little comment here real quick from... Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So we want to pray this morning as we get started. And I've got a text message here that Sister Libby has been rushed. Libby's mom, actually, Sister Catherine, has been rushed to the hospital with a very high blood sugar, and so we're going to pray right now for her, and trust that God is going to deliver. Praise God. Father God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for another opportunity to share with your people. We thank you for another opportunity, God, to hear from you and to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be empowered. Father, we come right now on behalf of Sister Libby's mom, Kate, and we pray, God, right now that you would touch her body. We pray, God, right now that whatever the situation is, whether it's blood pressure, blood sugar, that you would reverse and bring to normalcy those numbers right now, God. In Jesus' name, we pray for the medical team that is assisting her, that they would know exactly what to do to be able to quickly and efficiently work to help her stabilize now in the name of Jesus. We're trusting you for it, God. Now, Father, for each and every one listening today, we pray, God, that our eyes and our ears, our hearts, as well, would be open to your word, to receive your word, for the entrance of your word brings light. And oh God, we pray, Lord, this morning for light and for life as your spirit leads and guides us. Bless now each and every one under the sound of my voice, each and every one that shall hear the replay as well, God. We pray that this word will bring transformation in the midst of crisis. We'll give you praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. I'm going to get going here with our third installment. And as I said, the topic that we're working with is characters in crisis. I don't have to tell you that right now we are dealing with a serious crisis, a pandemic caused by a virus that has pretty much brought the world to a halt in many ways. It's shut down things for economies, has turned literally the world upside down. But here we are. Here we are. And in the midst of this crisis, God is sending a word to us here at Deliverance Temple these 5 weeks of May to let us know that He's not surprised, number one, by anything that goes on. He's been there, done that, seen it all before, and he has always come through for his people. And so I want you to know this morning that God is here to encourage your heart and to give you insight into your present situation, the present crisis. Now, it's affected us differently. Some folks have lost their jobs. Some folks have lost their businesses, or at least have had their businesses seriously hampered because they've had to shut down. Some folks have actually, of course, contracted the virus. Some folks have died. So we've lost loved ones and family members and co-workers. And so, as well, the whole economic impact of this situation on our economy, society-wise, has been one that has put us into a bit of a crisis. There is also, and I'm going to say this without being political, I'm not trying to be political here, I am just making an observation from the top to the bottom, really, that there's also a crisis in leadership. There's a crisis in leadership. In the midst of a crisis, you need leadership. And whether that's coming, you know, from a human that you're looking at in leadership, but ultimately, hopefully, we're taking our cues from God. We're looking for leadership from Him. Good morning, Sister Kamara. We are looking for guidance, for direction, for help in the midst of uncertainty and calamity and crisis. And so here this morning, I want to take you to another prophet. We've been looking at prophets, and I can't seem to get away from them. In the first week of this series, we looked at the prophet Elijah with a J. And the second week, we looked at his understudy, if you will, Elisha. And this week, we're going to be looking at the prophet Isaiah. Now, I want to warn you ahead of time that we're going to be reading quite a bit. I told you at the top of the series that this is going to be a little more along the lines of a traditional Bible study, if you will, from the standpoint that unlike sometimes when I'm waxing philosophical and didactic, we're going to really be looking into some scriptures. And so this morning, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. Yeah, two chapters, I know, right? So we're really delving in this morning, and I'm going to try to go as quickly as possible through here without necessarily rushing, because there's a lot that is here and a lot that I believe God wants to say to us this morning. So in chapter 36 of the book of Isaiah, beginning at verse 1, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, let me stop right there and tell you that we were looking before at last week, in fact, at both the northern and southern kingdoms. At this time in the history of Israel, the kingdoms were divided to a northern kingdom, which capital was at Samaria, and the southern kingdom, which capital was at Jerusalem. And Hezekiah was at this time the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, right? And so in the 14th year of his reign, Sennacherib, I know, right? That's a name and a half, isn't it? I got a couple of more for you before we're done. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. Okay, now get this picture. Jerusalem is the capital, but there are a lot of other little cities, smaller cities out and around, fortified. He has come down from the north, from Assyria, and has seized all of these smaller cities. So he's basically surrounding Jerusalem at this point. He's already had victories over these outlying cities, and he's coming for the capital at this point in time. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh. Yeah, there's another name. I love this guy, right? He's a sweetheart. I'm going to show you. From Lachish to Jerusalem to King Hezekiah with a large army. So here this guy shows up at Jerusalem. They've already wiped out basically the smaller cities surrounding, and they're coming. Listen, can I tell you that sometimes things get worse before they get better? Can I just say that without losing too many friends? Sometimes things get worse before they get better. And it looks like the danger is getting closer and closer and closer and closer to your house, right? Unfortunately, this sometimes does occur. And here we have, in this situation, impending doom, as it were. They've already knocked out the smaller cities, and now they're coming for the capital. Sometimes it looks like the enemy is coming straight to your house. He done already got the guy down the street. He done already got your neighbor across the street, and he's coming for you. You thought you were safe. You thought you were, you know, in a good situation. You thought your job was secure. You thought your health was secure. You thought your loved ones were okay. But here it comes, closer to your house. And so he sends his emissary, the king does. This is Sennacherib, sends his emissary, Rabshakeh, from Lachish to Jerusalem to King Hezekiah with a large army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway of the Fuller's Field. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, this is over the household of the king, and Shebna, the scribe, we got to record this situation, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. So these three emissaries from King Hezekiah come out to meet Rabshakeh and see what he's got to say. Then Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the king of Assyria, what is this confidence that you have? I say your counsel and strength for war are only empty words." Now, yeah, I'm twisting up my face because boy had an attitude. He was nasty with the delivery of his message. You know, the enemy is not nice when he comes to whisper in your ear. And this guy wasn't whispering. "Now, on whom do you rely that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt, on which if a man leans, it'll go through his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who rely on him. But if you say to me, 'Oh, we trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and to Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar'? Now, therefore, come, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you're able to set riders on them. How then can you repulse one official of the least of my master's servants and rely on Egypt, their chariots and their horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord's approval?" Look, wait a minute. Wait, what did you just say, bro? You're saying that God has allowed me to come up to beat y'all up, to take y'all into captivity, to whoop up on y'all. I've already got your God's approval to do it. So here I am. I mean, he's talking big noise. Listen, the enemy in times of crisis talks really loudly. All your own thoughts and all your own fears and all your own hesitations and procrastinations and everything seem to come to the surface all at once. And this is what's happening here as Rabshakeh is delivering this message from the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, to the emissaries of King Hezekiah. He says, "Have I now come up without the Lord's approval against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" Are you serious right now? Here the devil is talking about, I talked to the Lord already. He said to come get you. He said, you mine. He said, you in big trouble because I've got his permission to wipe y'all out. So don't be trying to pray. Don't be trying to depend on God. Don't be trying to look to the Lord for salvation. Don't be trying to look for the Lord for some kind of deliverance because I done already talked to him. He said, come get you. I mean, he's talking crazy. I want y'all to get how crazy he's talking here. I mean, He literally saying, I done talked to your God, and he said, it's all right to wipe y'all out. Then Eliakim and Shebna and Joah said to Rabshakeh, speak now to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. And do not speak to us in Judean. Don't speak Hebrew to us in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. I don't want y'all, lower your voice, bro. Could you speak to me? Speak to me in Aramaic, not in Hebrew, because the guys on the wall will hear you. I don't want them to hear these threats that you're breathing out. But Rabshakeh, just like the devil he is, said, has my master sent me only to your master and to you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall, doomed to eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you? Oh my God. This man talking real crazy. He's like, not only am I not going to speak in Aramaic, I'm going to holler a little more loudly so your boys on the wall can hear me too. Don't they have a right to know that they getting ready to be wiped out? That in just a minute, things going to get real bad for all of y'all? In fact, it's going to get so bad, you're going to be eating your own dung and drinking your own urine. That's going to be your lunch, bro. That's talking real crazy. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I have heard that voice. I have looked at situations and thought, this is not only the end, but I'm going down hard. It's not just the end, but I'm going down broke. It's not just the end, but I'm going down sick. It's not just the end, but I'm going down without my friend. We all gonna die. Such is the nature of a crisis, right? You feel like there is no hope anywhere. Everywhere you look, things are bad. So here he says, look, not only am I not going to speak low, not only am I not going to be cool, I'm going to holler out so everybody can hear. I'm going to make my threats known to everybody. It's going to get bad. It's going to get worse than bad, and I'm bringing it. Verse 13. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in Judean. He's speaking Hebrew, y'all. He comes speaking your own language and hollering in a loud voice. Hear the words of the great king of Assyria. Thus says the Lord, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace. Make your peace. No. I ain't trying to make peace with you. I'm not trying to make peace with the enemy. I'm not trying to make peace with the devil right now. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. He says, make your peace with me. Come out to me and eat each of his vine and each of his fig tree and drink each of the waters of his own cistern until I come and take you away to the land of grain and new wine and the land of bread and vineyards. He's sweetening the deal a little bit. He bringing a little bit of a promise of better time. Hey, listen, I know things are rough. You got it bad. I'm here to wipe y'all out. But hey, I'm going to give you a chance. I tell you what, just make a deal with the devil. Just compromise a little bit. Just see things my way. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. It's going to be all good. You'll be okay if you do it my way, if you just come with me. Of course, I'm going to take you off into captivity, but it'll be okay. Just work with me here. the enemy will come with some seriously crazy talk. Seriously crazy. And speaking in a language you can understand. Speaking in the language of your finances. Can you understand that? Speaking in the language of your health. Speaking in the language of your relationships. He said, yeah, things are a little crazy right now, but they're going to get a whole lot worse. Of course, you could just give up now and come over to my side and, you know, I might have mercy on you a little bit. Verse 18, beware that Hezekiah does not mislead you, saying the Lord will deliver us. Yeah, I'm going to throw that little laugh in there from him. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And when have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their land from my hand, that the Lord would deliver Jerusalem from my hand? He bringing evidence now. You know I got Jimmy down the street. You know I got your cousin. You know you was depending on your uncle. I got him already too. You know your boss just shut down business. You no longer have a job because he don't even have a business. You know, so you talking about the Lord going to deliver you. I don't see much evidence of deliverance around here. Look like everybody going down that I've had anything to deal with. And by my calculations, you're going to be next. So don't be trusting in this this word that Hezekiah giving you that the Lord will take care of us. The Lord will deliver. I don't think so, bro. I don't think so. I'm telling you, he's talking loud. He's talking crazy. Some of you, unfortunately, are familiar with this voice. You have heard it before. Yeah. He said, I'm going to get you. I'm out to get you. But they were silent and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn. They in grief, y'all. They done tore their clothes. And told him the words of Rabshakeh. They were at least wise enough. They were at least smart enough to follow the instruction that the king had given them. Don't be trying to talk back. Don't be trying to make some kind of a deal. Don't be trying to figure. Listen, the enemy would love to just pull you into his world. Would love to just pull you into his way of thinking. Would love to get your mind off track. Would love to get you distracted. Distracted. Listen, you think those men on the wall weren't thinking about how rough it's going to be when he's threatening that you're getting ready to eat your own dung and drink your own urine? That's going to be your lunch when I'm through with you. That's all you're going to have left, bro. They heard that. That's hard to ignore when you're looking around and things are very dire. The enemy loves to get you distracted, to get you thinking about his way of seeing things, to get you into a mindset of rationalizing stuff, trying to figure it out. You get out your calculator, your computer, you get out the newspaper, and you try to get a little information from CNN and MSNBC and Fox, and let's see, Lord, let me see, what does this all mean? We're going to die. We're going to die. That's just what he wants you to think. That's just where he wants you. And so, at the very least, these fellows were smart enough not to try to answer. But it did impact them. They heard everything. And so when they went back to the king, they were like, King, he ain't said nothing good. It's bad. It's looking bad. They came back with all the news reports at once. They came back with all the statistics. They came back with all the reasons why they were getting ready to go down hard. And reported that to the king. Chapter 37. We're moving along pretty good. Y'all sticking with me. I appreciate you this morning. So, chapter 37, Hezekiah, here in 37, Lord have mercy, screen acting crazy, stick with me. And when the king Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and entered the house of the Lord. Now listen, in that day, tearing your clothes, putting on sackcloth and ashes was a sign of mourning, was a sign, in this case, of desperation and mourning, because the impending disaster seemed unavoidable. The impending doom seemed inescapable. I want you to understand that sometimes when you get to looking hard at your situation, you get to listening to all the news reports, you will feel that it's hopeless, that there is no way out, that there's no turnaround in sight, that there is no deliverance at Deliverance Temple. But the devil is a liar. I just want to make that clear real quick. So Hezekiah has sense enough at least to go to the house of the Lord. He mourning, he thinking it's all over, but at least he has sense enough to go to the house of God. At least he has sense enough to seek God about the matter. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, with Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. They said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, rebuke, and rejection. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me." Yeah, that's the song they're singing. That's the song they're singing. I know you've never been there, but there are situations that can make you feel that way, and that's where they were. So, Hezekiah has put out basically a proclamation, sends over to the prophet and said, "This is a day of distress, of rebuke, of rejection, for the children have come to birth and there is no strength to deliver. Perhaps, fingers crossed, perhaps the Lord your God." Wait a minute, Hez, I thought of your God too. You done gave up, you done quit. All of a sudden he's just my God. He just Bishop's God. Okay, not mine no more, because look at all that's happening to me. So Bishop, maybe if you pray, maybe your God. Craziness, I'm telling you, he goes for the mind. He goes for the mind. "Perhaps the Lord your God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, offer a prayer." Please pray for us, for the remnant that is left. Now, I want to show you something here just real quick. He says, pray for us. Ah, don't get me started. He says, pray for us. Verse 5, so this is chapter 37, Isaiah, verse 5, if you're trying to keep up. So he says, "So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Isaiah said to them," after he had heard what they have to say, I want you to notice something here. Isaiah says to him, "Thus you shall say to your master, King Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Couple of things quick. One, notice that Isaiah doesn't bother to pray here. They have come begging him, crying out, telling him that everything is going to end in about 3 minutes if you don't pray. Please pray for us. Please, Bishop, please just say a word of prayer. Isaiah, firm in the Spirit of God, firm in his knowledge of God's commitment to them and love for them, he didn't even bother to pray. He said, look, I done already heard before y'all got here. And I want to declare what the God of Judah is saying. He says, don't be afraid because you hear in all the news reports. Don't be afraid because of all the statistics. Don't be afraid because of the stuff on the rumor mill. Don't be afraid. Mm-mm. Listen, he's blasphemed me. I'm taking up the cause. Listen, I want you to understand that it isn't... That's a whole nother subject for a whole nother day. But the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. In this time of crisis, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. You got to let him do what he do. Let him be who he be. Yeah, that ain't right. I know. Correct my English later. Let God be who he be. Let him do what he do. Rely upon him as never before. Verse 7, behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he will hear. He's talking about Sennacherib. He said, I'm going to put a spirit in him that he will hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard that the king had left Lachish. When he heard them say concerning Tirhakah, some names up in here, y'all, king of Cush, he's come out to fight against you. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. Still talking noise, man. Saying, Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of king Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands. Here you come with this news report. Listen, can I tell you that the news yesterday is not much different than the news last week? That the news last week is not a whole lot different than the news 2 weeks ago? They love to rerun the cycle. They love to rerun the same stuff over and over. Am I telling you don't watch the news? No, I wouldn't tell you that. But I am telling you, don't watch it so much. You ain't missing nothing. The enemy got the same old story. Listen, he came to Eve in the Garden of Eden with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All the way over in the New Testament, James tells us the same thing. He said he's been using the same old tricks the whole time. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And he will come with those same arguments to you. You going down. Everybody see you. You still trusting in God? Are you serious right now? Don't you see what's happening all around you? Haven't you seen how everybody else is sick and dying and the economy's crashing and we're all going to... Come on. You find yourself pulled right into it if you don't watch out, if you're not vigilant to seek the face of God. And to know that the battle ultimately is his, not yours. Get your hands off of what he is trying to do. He don't need you trying to figure it out, trying to make it work somehow, hocus pocus, or by mental gymnastics. Neither one of these ways is going to work for you. Meanwhile, the enemy's still talking noise, because that's what he do. I know my English is just terrible today, so you forgive me. But that's what he do. That's what he do. So, Rapture Cast still talking. So, will you be spared? Did the gods of those nations which my fathers have destroyed deliver them, even Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the sons of Eden who were in Telus Asar? Where is the king of Hamath? Where is the king of Arpad? And the king of the city of Sepharvaim? And of Henna and Iva? He's just going down the list. Now here's the thing that you really got to watch out for. There is truth and there are facts. Let me say again, there is truth and there is facts. If you don't hear anything else I have said today, get this one in your heart and mind. There is truth and there are facts. The facts are subject to the truth, not the other way around. The facts are subject to the truth, not the other way around. The truth here for the people of God was that he was on their side, that he was their defense, was that he had not forsaken them. The facts seem to tell another story. Here, Rabshakeh is telling about all the nations they've already destroyed. I done got all these other folk, and you think your God gonna deliver you? Please. I done took out a whole lot better than you, a whole lot smarter than you. So, you might as well give up now. Don't be trusting in God, please. That ain't gonna work. I'm telling you, big crazy noise. Big crazy noise. So he goes down this litany of nations that they've already destroyed. He continues on, or Ethiopia, all the way down, right? And he says, God's not going to deliver you. Verse 14. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. I love this part. He's like, you know what, God, have you seen this, Lord? They said they done destroyed everybody everywhere. They done killed all the other folks and all the other nations. Here's a big list of them, Lord, of the folks that he done took out. And he said, he coming for me too. So, Lord, I'm just going to spread this out so you can read it, Lord, because I can't do nothing with it. So I'm giving it to you. I am literally spreading this letter out before you. Verse 15, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim. Feel his help coming on. You are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven. See, he was a little Baptist right there, but he's okay. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And listen to all the words of this fool, of Sennacherib, who sent him to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the king of Assyria have devastated all the countries and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods. Hey, light flash. understanding some things here in this prayer. I think the Holy Ghost helping him pray right about now. He said, here's the facts about it, Lord. The fact is those nations have gone down. The fact is there has been defeat around here. The fact is that a lot of devastation has occurred. The fact is some folks have died. The fact is the economy is kind of tanking right now. The fact is, but Lord, I understand that none of those things were you. You're not the economy. You're above all of that. You're not our political system. You're above all of that. And I get that they went down hard, God, but I understand the truth above that, which is that you are still God. You alone are God. You are enthroned above all of this. Ha ha, Lord have mercy. He said they weren't the real deal. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth, get this, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. He wised up, y'all. He said, look, I'm not asking so that they can say that, you know, Hezekiah, you know, he's all that. They came down against Hez and, you know, he brought the heat, Bobby. Hey, I'm the man. No, that was not his defense. That was not his prayer. He said, God, I realize this thing is bigger than me. I realize this is about you. I realize that here is an opportunity for you to show forth your glory. Here's an opportunity for you, God, to manifest yourself in the midst of a crisis. Here's an opportunity for you to help them understand that you are God alone, that you're the real deal. So, Lord, if you would, please, step up to the plate, because I know this is your battle. It's not mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, verse, Lord have mercy, I'm already up to verse 21. Praise God. I'm watching my time here. So God answers in verse 21, then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent word. While you praying over here, God's working over there. Or while you praying over here, saying, Lord, help, send a word, send help, send something, God is at work. Listen, let me tell you what I tell you. Oftentimes, God is never doing one thing at a time. He is always doing lots of things at the same time. Don't get all tripped out because of stuff you see and the news reports and what have you. God is at work. He has a plan. He is not scratching his head trying to figure it out. He already knows what he's going to do. So he sends his word through Isaiah the prophet back to Hezekiah. And he says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. She has despised you and mocked you, the virgin daughter of Zion. She has shaken her head behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lifted up your eyes against the Holy One of Israel? Through your servants you have reproached the Lord and have said, with my many chariots, I came up to the heights of the mountains, to the remotest parts of Lebanon, and I cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypresses, and I will go to its highest peak, its thickest forest. I dug wells and drank waters, and with the sole of my feet, I dried up all the rivers of Egypt. Talking big. Have you not heard? Long ago I did it. From ancient times I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should turn fortified cities into ruinous heaps. He said, look, you thought you was doing what you're doing? I planned all of this. I planned all of this. I knew this was all going to go down. You're not catching me by surprise. I'm not all of a sudden aware. I've been aware all along. I know it seems sometimes like God has forsaken you, like he is completely unaware of what's going on in your life and situation, but trust me, dear one, trust me, he is fully aware, he fully cares, and he fully intends to bring you out. He's got a plan. He's got a plan in the midst of crisis. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. Therefore, verse 27, their inhabitants were short of strength. They were dismayed and put to shame. They were as the vegetation of the field and as the green herb, as the grass of the housetops is scorched before it is grown up. But I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in. The Lord said, I got my eyes on you. I know just where you're at. I know just what you're going through. I understand. I see you. I see you. Somebody say to the Lord right now, God, you see me. You see me. Confess. You see me. I know you see me. Hallelujah. He sees you. He knows what's going on. He knows your situation. Verse 29, because of your raging against me, Sennacherib, and because your arrogance has come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips. I love it. And I will turn you back the way which you came. Somebody say, turn back coronavirus the way it came, Lord. Turn it back. Just send it on back. We through with it. I've had enough. We done. Send it on back, God. Do all your good pleasure. Verse 30, then this shall be the sign for you. You'll eat this year what grows itself in the second year, what springs from the same, and in the third year, sow, reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. My God, I wish I had time. Here's the word of the Lord. After these things, there's coming an after these things time for the people of God. Don't be dismayed. Don't be distracted. Keep your focus on God. Keep your trust in him. He will come through. He has a plan. He said, I got a plan for your next year and the year after that and the year after that. I'm going to take this remnant and I'm going to root you down and make you bear fruit up. I got it all covered, A to Z, top to bottom, all around. 32, for out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion survivors. I'm a survivor. Yeah, it ain't just Beyonce, y'all. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. My God, today. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come to this city or shoot an arrow. And he will not come before it with a shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, by the same way he shall return. My God, today. God can turn things around. He's about to do just that. I believe it. He's about to turn this thing around. The way it came is going back the same way. See, out of nowhere. Okay. Out of nowhere. He's turning it around. He's turning it around. By the way that he came, by the same way he shall return, and he will not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake. Get that. It really isn't about me. We get so wrapped up in us. But the Lord has a plan. The Lord intends to show forth his glory. The Lord intends to show forth his might on your behalf. But it's about him, y'all. It's about him. for my sake and my servants, David's sake here. So he looking out for you as well. But his glory will be revealed. His plan will prevail. It absolutely will. Verse 36. Whew. Take a breath. Verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. I said the angel of the, they don't even know what hit them. They can't explain it. As we say in our culture, they just woke up dead, okay? It's gone, over. When they rose early in the morning, behold, all of these were dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived in Nineveh. That's the capital of Assyria. And it came about as he was worshiping. Man, this is so good. This is so good to me. It came about as he was worshiping his fake god. It came about as he was worshiping his fake god in the house of Nisroch, the god of Adrammelech, and Sharezer, his sons, killed him with the sword. He's worshiping his fake god. And just as the prophet had predicted, he back home and he go down by the hands of his own sons. Careful what you sow. Sow to the wind, reap a whirlwind, the scripture tells us. His own sons stabbed him up while he is worshiping. And they escaped into the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, became king in his place. Here's what I want to tell you, folks. God has a plan. God is not mocked. And despite the facts around you, despite the news reports, despite the statistics, despite all evidence to the contrary, he's totally aware of what's going on. He's totally aware of your situation. Now, the question is, in the midst of this crisis, will you, like Hezekiah did, will you turn it over to him? Will you lay out your case before him and say, look, I can't do nothing with this. I can't fix the economy. I can't heal everybody. I can't. Well, guess what? He never asked you to do all of that. But he does ask you to submit to him. He does ask you to trust in him. And so in the midst of crisis situations, like the ones in which we find ourselves right now, the word of the Lord to you, as to Hezekiah, is that he will take care of you. He will battle for you. He will prevail on your behalf to show forth his glory. Will you give him the opportunity, or will you try to fix it yourself? Will you give him the opportunity? Will you seek his face? Will you turn off CNN long enough to get on your knees and seek the face of God, to hear instruction from him, to allow Holy Spirit to comfort you and to encourage you? Or will you go running off like Chicken Little, the sky is falling and we all gonna die? That's not what time it is for the people of God. I'm telling you, that's a good way to die. That's a good way to go out hard. But the word of the Lord to you today is to trust in him. Those that trust in him will never be made ashamed. So I hope that this word has helped you this morning. I hope it's been an encouragement to your heart. Do keep in mind that your brothers and sisters are going through this as well. And we're all in this together, true enough. And so collectively, we need to all trust in God. We need to all seek God while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. He is very near to you. He is very near to you. Don't let the distractions and even the facts dissuade you from a trust in God and in his plan for you. He will come through. Listen, I hope you've been blessed today. Do stick around. Grab your phones. Get ready for the Sunday morning DTM conference call at 11 a.m. Phone number is in the pinned announcements right here on this Facebook page. And we are looking very much forward to a great time in the Lord today. I will tip my hand and let you know that none other than our own Minister Regina Rogers will be bringing the word today. So you definitely don't want to miss that. Listen, thanks for joining today. I appreciate you so very much. I see I'm a little past my time. I'm going to get off of here. But God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.